A gathering of Baltimore County politicians posed shortly before Christmas with officials of Local 37 of the International Union of Operating Engineers. They were armed with a giant pair of scissors to cut the ceremonial ribbon on a union headquarters that promises to be one of Dundalk's latest job-producing additions. Norm Stone reckons he has attended at least 1,000 such events over 51 years as a Maryland lawmaker, the third longest-serving state legislator in the nation. Over lunch at nearby Costa's Inn, he said he's pretty much done with this phase of life. The General Assembly session that begins tomorrow will be his last.
It's tough because you've been, you know, being there all those years and doing, you know, you kind of fall in love with it. But you got to know when to hold them and when to fold them.
At 78, Stone has seen it all in Maryland politics. He's been the favorite of local political bosses and a powerful force in Annapolis. He ran some of the most influential committees, like judicial proceedings and economic matters. But thanks to his unswerving conservative views, Stone has also been a source of great frustration within his own party. In recent years, he's been relegated to a mostly ceremonial spot in the Democratic leadership. Senate President Mike Miller, whose tenure stretches almost as far back as Stone's, said during an interview that his colleague has reached emeritus status.
He's got quite a bit of age on him. He's got quite a bit of experience on him. But in the Senate, we don't do things like on Capitol Hill. Like Capitol Hill, the longer you serve, the older you get, the more important you are.
Clearly, Stone has become a dinosaur in this blue state. He's pro-life, pro-gun, pro-death penalty, anti-gay marriage, and anti-tax. Back in the 70s, when Senate conservatives waged an unsuccessful 8-day filibuster to block construction of a subway in Baltimore, he was with the losers. During the 80s, Stone wouldn't give Miller even a procedural vote during a lengthy abortion fight.
I voted my conscience. I always voted the way I felt. I voted what I thought the people that I represented wanted me, the way they wanted me to vote.
Also in sync with his blue-collar district, Stone is a strong supporter of organized labor, but he falls in the category of what used to be called Reagan Democrats. Former GOP Governor Bob Ehrlich counted Stone a reliable ally, if something of a throwback.
During the era when there were a lot of Norman Stones walking around, he was obviously held in very high regard. He's still held in high regard, except his views are today a very distinct minority in the Democratic Party.
Soft-spoken and humble, rare qualities in politics, Stone is a product of Highlandtown in East Baltimore. He found kindred spirits in the communities that sprang up nearby to staff seafaring industries of the port. He worked his way through high school and college as a bricklayer. He picked up the saxophone in his spare time.
I organized this group called Norman Ray and the Jazz Bombers, and we played all nightclubs in the Baltimore area.
After he graduated from University of Baltimore Law School and passed the bar, Stone gave up bricklaying and the band. But he still carries a saxophone in the trunk of his car in case he gets a pickup gig on the fly. Stone was drawn into politics, like so many young people of that time, by the compelling tug of the Kennedys. Some volunteer work, a call from the local political boss, and Norm was on the ticket for a state delegate seat. Within 4 years, a vacancy in the state Senate opened up, and Stone won the first of 12 terms in that chamber. Over the next 5 decades, he would witness huge change in the legislature, in the state, and in the times. His district would lose the steel plant at Sparrows Point, which had been its life's blood. But Stone's memories center on people, like Edward Conroy, a state senator from Bowie, who lost an arm during the Korean War, then died from cancer almost before the Senate's eyes.
He was a very close friend. He was a war hero.
Conroy, who would occasionally jab his friend with his artificial hand, was Stone's roommate during the last weeks at the end of each session when hours ran too late to drive home. But Stone was not a part of the after-hours drinking, dining, and dancing scene that entranced much of the legislature during the 70s. Much of the buzz for the 2014 session surrounds proposals to raise the state's minimum wage. Stone will likely be supportive. But this self-described animal lover, who brings his dog Gracie to work, listed a different top goal for the session. He wants to create an animal abuse registry that would help keep dogs, cats, and other creatures out of the hands of proven abusers. Stone's likely successor is Delegate John Olszewski, who is campaigning with polite deference to the incumbent. But while some political customs remain the same, Stone's career reflects a significant change in the way folks rise to power in Annapolis, Miller said.
We look at gender. You know, that wasn't a factor a long time ago. So we want women in leadership. We look at race. That wasn't a factor a long time ago. That's a factor. We want that. We look at jurisdictions. So we want every jurisdiction in the state represented in leadership. And at the same time, we focus on people who are young, who are active, and who can see beyond their district.
Stone's victory may be that he is leaving on his own terms. Governor Paris Glendening nearly cashiered him in 2002 with a redistricting map that lumped his Edgemere home into Anne Arundel County legislative turf. But the state's highest court stepped in to save him. Still, Stone acknowledges there is pain in the parting.
It's not only the issue of making laws. You make a lot of good friends, friends that you become very close to. Whether you're on one side or the other, it doesn't make any difference. In the end, you're still friends.
Even so, for a guy not seeking re-election, the next 90 days ought to be a snap. I'm Karen Hostler for 88.1 WYPR.